Listener warning. Today's episode of Oh Those Chat with Ben and the Other One contains mentions of sexual intercourse and people doing kissing and having it off and that. We have since bathed the episode in holy water and thrown it at a bishop, so we can now return you to this week's programme already in progress.
Can you imagine if we get round to making 113 of these? Good grief.
I will be doing them. The last one will just be etchings from my gravestone. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let's chat. Hello, I'm Ben Baker, that's Phil, and we are two men who try to make sense of the world via top 10 list charts and everyday occurrences. So, I was walking in town earlier, as I want to do. Yeah. I'm allowed. It's been confirmed by the government. I am okay to
You're
do
not restricted.
This. And it was really weird because I walked past our local cinema, and of the four films currently showing, one of them is based on a children's toy property. Two of them upcoming are about toys. Now, admittedly, Toy Story 4 and the remake of Child's Play are possibly different in their...
Well, they're the two different settings on the Krusty doll, aren't they?
Yes. Well, yes, of course. It's murder or light Tim Allen funnies. It only operates though if you hold it up to like a fence where you can see the top half of a man.
Very niche. It's like, very niche.
Home Improvement was like the biggest program in the 90s.
Which was 20 years ago, Ben. I mean,
that's no. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There was no need for you to wear that. That's upsetting. Although, I suppose, yeah, we're looking back at Child's Play, started in the 80s, went through the 90s. Toy Story, first one, 1995. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all scratching the same nostalgia itch that we do. So we thought, let's do a toy chart.
From Ranker.com, I've got 23 toys that prove your parents didn't love you. We're not going to do all 23. Gosh. We're just going to do the top 10.
As long as it's not like it's a box and you open it and it says you're adopted. You know, it's like... It's,
no.
You know.
No, it's not that.
Like, congratulations! It's a knife! It's not even a knife, it's half a milk bottle.
It's some shards.
Did I mention I brought up in the north?
just a bit. I'm just going to do one honourable mention from outside the top 10. Only making it as far as number 12, which is a testament to their utter mediocrity, is GoBots, described here as the lame Transformers. And that is correct, GoBots are bad. Thanks.
I mean, just open it up to all cartoon robots of the 80s. Just throw them in a big burning pyre of barely animated nonsense.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not a fan of your Willy Fog action figures or whatever it is that you liked.
I know you're not a fan of my Willy, comma Fog.
That is beneath even you.
No, it's pretty poor. So, so the GoBots, they were just basically, Nan, will you go and get us a Transformer? Yeah, I got that thing you like. What is it? It's a knife. Oh. Well, it's half a milk ball.
But it transforms into a shard. Yeah, that's...
Right, what have we got at 10?
At 10, knock-off pogo balls.
I mean, I have heard that phrase many a time. Hey, knock-off pogo balls! I don't even know what that means. It just has balls in it. So, you know, it's instantly funny.
So did you have pogo balls up north?
So they were basically... Were they like a... Did they look like Saturn, basically?
It was like a peanut-shaped inflatable thing with a disc around the middle that you stood on,
But you know what I mean? Like, there was like a centre and then a ring around it. You know, that kind of... And you just jumped up and down on it.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember them being like pink and green.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they're early 90s.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. So the knockoff ones were harder than the other ones, which meant it was really easy for them to slip. Which meant they were basically just a death trap, the knockoff ones. So enjoy your broken neck. This was one of those that I remember being like a massive thing for one summer and then gone.
And again, I reckon that summer was what, 1991
around
like
then.
That.
Yeah,
it like, yeah, he definitely fits in with like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. If only to take it off, we could have Strictly Come Pogo Bowling on a Saturday night. You know, right now, but unfortunately we don't, because everyone who used one is dead.
I remember we had like one between me and my sister, and it's really one of those toys that is not one that you can easily share.
No. At nine.
Terrifying imitation glowworms. So do you remember glowworms?
I do remember glowworms. They were kind of like soft bodies with hard plastic head, basically, yes. Weren't they? My cousin had
so
one,
the,
yeah.
The knockoff ones had like more human heads on them, which created a sort of terrifying... it describes here Dr. Moreau-style science experiment gone wrong, which I think is entirely reasonable.
Oh, no. You know, it's like, do you remember on Vic Rees' Big Night Out, he had Morrissey the Consumer Monkey, and he was like, you know, like one of those strap-around-your-neck monkey toys with a Morrissey mask. I imagine it's like that. And it had these, like... And he talked with a balloon which had some teeth on it. It's like, and that's when Morrissey, like, you know, wasn't that. Wasn't what he is now. Let's
when
just
he just wasn't,
that.
Yeah.
Although if number eight is a Morrissey blow-up doll, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Number eight.
Knock-off Tiger Games. So,
okay, yeah, so the LCD kind of handheld.
Yeah, it doesn't specify exactly what they all were, but there were definitely ones that were like cheap versions of Tiger Games, which was pretty bad because Tiger was cheap to start with.
Yeah, there's a reason why they were popular.
So it says here that if you got the cheaper ones, you were doing at least two of these three things. One, spending time figuring out whether or not hitting an enemy was doing anything. Two, convincing yourself that pressing multiple buttons did anything. And three, pressing the buttons until one of them actually work and learning that Hulk Hogan only punches when you press punch really hard three times. I had a, well, not Walkman, but a portable cassette player that had a game of Tetris bolted to the front of it, which meant that it ate batteries at a ridiculous rate if you tried to do anything with it at all. But yeah, Tetris and Oasis singles. That was the mid-90s for me.
Number seven.
Mega Blocks, specifically because not only were they not Lego, they weren't even Duplo, which I think is harsh.
No.
I think he's harsh.
I mean, if you're not sure what one is, Google it now and you'll see it. And I think they're kind of still around.
They are.
You know, it's like, oh, cool, I can make a line.
There's a picture on here where a child has made what I can only describe as like a mutant chicken that he appears to be hugging. I don't really understand.
I assume it's one of the Pokemon that us old fellas don't know about, you know. Iridium Beak.
Excuse me. I have seen what? Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, what were he doing?
What was who doing?
Detective Pikachu, what are you saying?
He was detecting.
It's a likely story of this.
He'd got a hat and everything.
Oh, you'd never have Bill Nighy in the film like that. You can't have like, oh wait.
Baffling cast, baffling. Great film, baffling.
Six.
Off-brand action figure knockoffs.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say Joe Brand knockoff. And I'm like, right, we can't have any of that. Joe Brand material is right out now. Comes with just a tiny pot of battery acid, which turned out to be real. Oh.
On the contrary, 10 times as much Joe Brand material. Thanks.
Please do send your complaints to... I don't know, Cheap Show, something like that. So send them, they won't mind.
I'm going to borrow a line that I heard Paul F. Tompkins use once. Please see the podcast Bursa for a full refund.
Yes. No, don't, because some people pay towards his stuff.
Those ones will be
fine. No refunds. Quick, throw the acid, run!
Yeah, so the picture that they've used for these action figure knockoffs is a Transformer that clearly isn't a Transformer, which I think is the most common sort of action figure knockoffs. There's also things like Robot Cop, which is the RoboCop knockoff, and all those sort of, again, you talked about grands getting stuff for you. This is the sort of thing that would happen where you'd go, can I have a He-Man? And they'd come back, it's like, I've got you 37 Who-Moon figures... which are all 2 inches tall.
Featuring his enemy Skellingsman.
They're 2 inches tall, made entirely of peat. They last you about half an afternoon before all the limbs come off and can't be reattached and are swallowed by a dog.
Five.
Number five, cheap frisbees that clearly came from a work event. I think we can make this one a bit broader. You know, key rings, pens, anything like that that your parents brought home from work. Look, you can have that. Thanks, Dad. I need a key ring. I'm seven.
My dad worked in a foundry, and amazingly, he didn't bring a lot of molten metal or steel home with him. Now he works at Job Centre and he brings no jobs home. At four.
$1 pool tables with instantly breaking spring mechanisms. This is really specific, yes. I think the writer of this has.
Oh no, I had one. You know, the ones where you pulled it back and it went twang. Well, you know, it's kind of like the rod had like a spring in it and you fired it forward out the box.
Okay.
Titsy bowls, barely working queue. The Ben Burger story. Excellent. Number three.
Pencils with no erasers.
Maybe just a confident drawer. I mean,
it says here that unless you're out there keeping track of people golfing, there is no need to ever have a pencil with no eraser on it. That's absolutely not true.
You might be playing Pass the Pigs. I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my head. In fact, I'm quite worried.
I'm very pleased it was, because it's a game with a pleasing sound. Pass the Pigs. I'm on board.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's literally two pigs and you throw them. That's it. In fact, to be honest, it could be in this list now I think about my awful childhood. Number two.
Deformed off-brand Barbie knockoffs. Now, the picture that they've used here is not a deformed Barbie, but it has had the eyes printed about a quarter of an inch further to the left than they should be. So one is slightly over the nose and the other one is down the side of the face.
It's a slight bogging of the face.
Extreme bogging, I would say.
See, this is the thing, again, it's like Poundland, like, again, they've almost got too good. Yeah. Except for when I went in Poundland a few weeks ago and there were loads of dolls with no heads. and just a 75p sticker on it. It's like, oh, that's all right then, all right. I mean, it's incapable of doing the thing it's meant to. I think the head must have been in the box somewhere, Seven style.
It's a Build a Doll Workshop, that's what it is.
Or Scar a Child Workshop. You know, they are very much hand in hand. Number one, the toy that made you cry the most.
Number one, Rose Art Crayons, the worst crayons in the world. The way Ranker works is that someone writes the article, but then people get to vote on it.
Yes.
Genuinely, I've never seen these. I'm assuming they're an American thing. But the screed that the article author has written about them. If you had these crayons, your parents didn't love you. Do you know what's impossible to do with these? Make a straight line. You can't do it. Since the crayons are only capable of leaving random wax stains carelessly in their inconsistent path, if you've ever told anyone you made a straight line using a Rose Art crayon, you're a liar. A liar and a fraud. Just like every single Rose Art crayon ever made.
Yeah, that would have been the worst game of Hangman. It's just like, it's all limbs! Once again, if you have been offended by any of the issues raised in this podcast, just stop it.
Tramp's back, and Lady's got it. In Walt Disney's Lady and the Tramp.
Somebody get
a story of adventure. Excitement.
Whoa!
Laughter. With Mr. Busy.
Busy, Sonny.
Sigh and Am. And Peg.
He's a tramp on
this lonely. Walt Disney's delightful classic, Lady and the Tramp, rated G.
Classic. Now, Phil, out of interest,
yeah.
Do you like the films of Disney?
I mean, as much as anyone does, yeah.
I didn't want your life story. I just wanted to know if you like the Disney films.
Prefer Disney Cup.
Well, that goes without saying. Do you remember Lady and the Tramp?
I do.
Do you remember anything in it other than the bit with the spaghetti?
No, that's the only bit.
No, exactly. No, nobody does. It's one of the cinema's most romantic love stories, the spaghetti bit, and then 82 more fabulous minutes of
it's
something with dogs.
It's one of the only seven types of story dogs eat spaghetti. That's one of them.
It is, actually. It's also, weirdly, one of George Carlin's seven words you can't see on television. don't know how that works. Also, do dogs even like spaghetti? Have we tested this?
I mean, dogs will basically eat anything, from what I remember. So,
really, you could replace that scene with that, like the romantic, like the sucking the spaghetti and then them having a kiss with, like, you know, an old sock or some flumps discarded. Or,
you know, a bird that one of them has caught and savaged, that sort of thing. You could do that.
I mean, that seems more likely to say.
It does. It does.
I don't know why, because what Disney have known for their savage realism.
Yeah, I want to see the Dogma 95 remake of Lady and the Tramp. It's just filming a dog next to some bins.
And you know, the English version of Dogma 95 is, of course, 101 Dalmatians.
It's
the number is affected by the by the import tax. So, anyway, the reason I mentioned Lady and the Tramp is that it came out in 1955 on this very day in America. And has been loved by people who, again, probably don't remember very much about it.
People who have seen it, sure. It's a Disney film. It's fine. Yeah.
So this week's quiz is based entirely around the theme of Lady and the Tramp. Because I had to think of the ultimate versions, obviously, of a lady, so I thought of Lady Diana Spencer, Princess, late Queen of Hearts.
Yeah.
And a tramp.
Right.
So I'm going to give you some facts, and you tell me if they're about Lady Diana Spencer, late Queen of Hearts, or a tramp.
I don't want to do this. Really don't.
Cool. Number one, born on the Sandringham estate.
I'm not doing this.
As bad luck as Lady Diana Spencer. I know, it's close. Number two, ate some chicken out of a bin.
Still not doing this.
Oh, well, that was a tramp, sadly. Number three, was murdered by the Queen Elizabeth.
No,
right, I'm telling you, it's
totally stop,
bad.
Right.
Ken
stop
said,
it.
You know about
stop
this.
It.
Well, it appears we've momentarily lost this week's episode of Don't Sum Charts with Ben and the Other One. So, until we can get back on schedule, here's some music.
Goodbye, England's Rose. May you
oh, God, Jesus, not that one. Yes, so, instead, how about I tell you all about the range of books you can buy from benbakerbooks.org, including Kill Your Television, The Long Quiz Goodnight, and festive double issue 40 Years of Christmas TV, The Perfect Summer Beach Read. And I'm being told now that, yes, we can now return to the programme where Ben has had a long think about what he's done and come up with a more appropriate quiz. Have mercy on us all.
You're in touch with Atlanta's TV 2.
Continue now with Try and Catch Me, starring Peter Falk as Columbo.
Several minutes later. Right, I've written another one. Right.
Right. Okay.
You're not offended by Columbo, are you? You're not a Columboist.
Do you mean like the place or the fictional detective?
Is there a place called Columbo?
Yeah, there is.
Is there really?
Yes.
Fair enough. I looked as well on this date. 2011, Peter Falk dies at 83.
Aww.
I think that was his address, 83 Columbo Road. I'm not entirely sure. Columbo is still on television now. It's still on ITV 3 or 4.
Usually one of the Patrick McGowan episodes.
He may show up in today's actual quiz.
Okay.
Real Columbo episode title or not.
Okay.
So I suspect this is one which half the audience are going to be not interested in, half the audience are going to be answering very quickly. Number one, prescription, murder.
That's the very first one, isn't it? That's the pilot.
It is, it's the pilot, well done. From 1968, in which Gene Barry's Ray Fleming, a psychiatrist, murders his wife and persuades his mistress, played by fantastically named Catherine Justice, to support his alibi by pretending to be her. Which I'm not sure is a great alibi. So, yeah, it's my wife. Got a different face and age and height. So, yeah, it's his wife. There's no internet back here. You can't check it out. Number two, a stab in the dark is worth two in the guts.
No, that's not a real one.
Oh, you were thinking a stab in the dark with old Cocaine's Michael Gove, weren't you?
Yeah, that's it. That's what he's known for.
Yeah, yeah.
Appearing on a TV show with Tracy McLeod. Yep, yeah, that's
in 1992. Yeah. Number three, fade in to murder.
Yeah, that's a real one. Is that a Shatner one?
Oh, it is a Shatner one. You know, I didn't know your Columbo knowledge was that high. Yes, 1976.
I don't know that many of them. I do know there's two Shatner ones, I think. There's a 90s one and there's that one. And that's the one where he plays a detective. Is that right?
Yeah, who's been blackmailed by his producer and ex-paramour.
It's a really, really good one, that.
Over the fact he was a deserter in the Korean War. Which, yeah, that's quite like, yeah, that'll teach you.
It's got a really, like, the last bit of that one is really, really good, where Columbo's got him and he's still humouring him slightly, as Columbo does, and Shatner's just like, please don't talk down to me or whatever. It's just really well done. I'm not doing it justice. Go and watch that one. Go and watch Fade Into Murder. It's really good.
Four, Death of a Young Conservative.
No, that's not a real one.
That's not one. That is from that's an Alexei Sale routine. Number five, knife to know you, Mr. Columbo. That's knife to know you, not nice.
No, I understand.
Is where the humour arises.
Thank you for clarifying. I don't think that's a real one.
Oh, it's not. It's another fake one. Could be, though. It could be.
It could be. It could.
Six, a stitch in crime.
See, I'm torn on that one because it feels cheesy enough to be a 70s one. I'm going to go with it's not.
Cardiac surgeon Dr. Barry Mayfield, played by Leonard Nimoy, has pied a medical breakthrough that his partner wants to wait on, so he goes in to kill him with dissolving sutures.
Nice.
On a heart. Yeah, it's real. It's real. 1973. So, yeah, it's Nimoy and Shatner's.
I was
going to
say, we're two down.
Yeah, no, there's no more.
Oh.
It's the next one is not Walter Koenig.
Oh.
Number seven, Columbo smears the dirt.
I'm really torn because that sounds like something you'd make up because it's got the word smear in there. Anyway, I'm going to go with that's a fake one.
It is fake. Eight, caution, murder can be hazardous to your health.
That's got to be a real one.
It is a real one. It's a 90s one.
Okay.
From 1991, in which George Hamilton is the host of Crime Alert. One day he gets an unexpected visit from his rival, who he had blocked from becoming a host of Crime Alert. He has resented how he was snubbed, but now he has leverage. A porn video starring George Hamilton from many years ago.
George Hamilton was never in a porn film.
And so he murders him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Number nine, Columbo likes the nightlife.
That doesn't sound like a real one. No, that can't be a real one. That doesn't sound good.
LA rave promoter Justin Price, played by the Welshman Matthew Rhys, helps his girlfriend to get rid of the corpse of her ex-husband mobster Tony Galper. He disposes of the body under the club's fish tank. Columbo remarks, Tony is sleeping with the fishes. And that's the final one from 2003. number 10, the final one in this Columbo quiz. The death of a princess, brackets Diana, by Queen Elizabeth's II,
no.
Brackets, we all seen it. And
stop
anyway,
it.
I've heard about these chemtrails.
Stop
and
it.
Anyway, 9/11 was definitely an inside job because my uncle
no.
told me. And anyway, I'm glad it's one of those. Why the fish is again?
Stop it.
Thursday, look who's back.
You happy to see me?
Rocking a rave to catch a killer.
Just one more thing.
Columbo Likes the Nightlife, a world premiere movie, ABC Thursday, 8, 7 Central.
Sorry, I've been...
voltage calmed.
I've been hit with sticks several times, and now everything is okay.
You've been electro-helped.
To get to the final chart this week. And again, any complaints, yeah. Send them a cheap show. They won't mind.
Please, why would you do this when Paul has been so nice to us? Why would you do this?
Paul and Eli like arguing with people, probably. You know, compared
I don't think
us,
they like just arguing you know. With random people. As well. I listened to another podcast, they told me to complain to you. I don't think that's their thing.
To be fair, that would be the best thing in the world. I would find that very funny. Ben Baker said you've got to... You've got to apologise. Oh, so come on, let's clear the atmosphere. Let's clear our tongues. That's not a phrase.
No,
not a phrase. For our final chart this week.
Right. Okay. It's slim pickings this week, Ben. Not slim pickings like you thought.
Oh, top 10 slim pickings. Better not.
No. 1894. Alfred Kinsey, the American entomologist and sexologist of the Kinsey Report and the Kinsey Scale fame, was born. And in 1960, the first contraceptive pill is made available for purchase in the US. So we have got Metro, the popular Daily Mail-based newspaper, their top 10 sexual fantasies for people in the UK. That is what we have got. Now, there's no reason why we can't go through this list like adults.
Sex. Brilliant.
Once again, Pound, Ladley and Herring.
So the top 10 sexual fantasies told to people who work at the Metro. For people who read the Metro.
No, they're collected by WeVibe, the makers of the Moxie, which is, I believe, a vibrator.
So. What? Why are we getting sponsorships like that? Or indeed, Ennis. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, this is why. Yeah, okay. So I'm fascinated by what... Because, like, 50 years ago, or even, like, 20 years ago, it would have... What are the top 10 British sexual fantasies? And, like, number 10 would have been same bed, you know? Number 9, pull over off.
Shall we get started?
Yeah, so, I mean, figuratively get started. None of that. That's right out.
So we're going to go from 1 to 10, because that's the order they're in.
Okie dokie. So, number 1.
Sex in the shower.
Sex in the shower. I'll probably do that for all of these, incidentally.
I think you probably will, yes. That seems like very much your brand.
With my knees. With my knees? What do you think I am?
Well,
that a clean boy?
That is some of the problems that they list. Leverage issues, lack of upper body strength, and precarious shower curtains. That is the three problems.
Number two,
having a threesome. 19% of people have said that is a thing.
I mean, currently, in my situation, that is two less traditionally than the sexual relationships I've been enjoying. It's a threesome. It's a joke. I don't know if it's somebody else's or not, but I've said it for years. It's like, why would I want to disappoint two people at the same time? Number three,
outside.
I blame George Michaels for this.
I mean, the three scenarios that it lists here are a tropical beach, an idyllic meadow, or the car park behind Tesco's.
It was his back of bins. Four.
At work. 13% of people say at work.
It's a question of what you do, of course, isn't it?
Well, like, you know, I work in an open plan office, so
no one needs that.
It's got a leaky roof as well.
I guarantee there are at least three people who work with you listening to this right now, imagining your pink pancakes squeegeeing up and down on a desk and actually being physically ill.
Thanks, I guess.
See, for my work, editing this podcast. So, yeah, I can have sex whenever I want. But, you know, if you're listening, Ben, while you're editing this, Stop.
Put it away.
Stop. Number 5.
Number 5, group sex, which is...
I think it's a groove sex, then. I'm like, what? It's like, what?
There's a transformer called groove. It could have meant that. No.
It's better than grove sex, which is people wearing ant and deck masks calling each other spooky.
It's even worse, gove sex, which is a thing that happens.
You have to be on drugs for it. Topical 3-week-old humour.
Yeah, 10% of people.
Six.
On a plane.
I understand why people say, oh, my nightclub and that. For the money I have and the planes I'm going to get to go on, the idea of me getting basically three pumps in before someone tries to sell me some jewellery or perfume on a trolley, it's not happening. Sorry. Seven.
Open relationship. Which doesn't feel like it fits with any of the rest of these.
I'd like to do podcasts with other people. It's an open relationship. One of your dresses like a hack, right? One of your dresses like this, like somebody well. And then you don't do anything for 10 years. And
David Jason falls over, yeah. That's...
Yeah, it's all there. Eight!
Eight. Sex on public transport.
It's quite generic. It's like, if it's a speedboat...
What public speedboats are there?
Have you not been uptown? They've got the public speedboats.
You can't just say uptown for everything.
That are all the old prizes from Bullseye. Nobody wanted. Do they list any public transport examples?
Well, all that they say is tubes are gross, buses are gross. We can't imagine any situation where we would want to take our underwear off on any public transportation, which is, you know, fair.
You know, maybe when Virgin Galactic get together.
I'm assuming that's all that's for, really, because it's just like...
I mean, as long as Richard Branson's not there watching, I'm cool, I'm down.
I believe he insists on being present.
He doesn't judge, he just sits there.
He sits there with that big grin on his face, eating some popcorn.
Drinking some Virgin Cutlet.
Oh, do they still make that? I hope
not. Don't eat balls.
Why do you think that was a good idea? It was rubbish. Anyway.
Nine.
Sex with the same gender. I'm tediously heterosexual, Ben, so this one does nothing for me personally.
This podcast could be called Tediously Heterosexual with Ben and Phil, to be fair.
Two straight old white guys, yeah.
I mean, I think you could probably, like, explain the sexual revolution through just episodes of, like, are you being served?
No, I don't think you could. I don't think that would be a useful way of explaining anything, Ben. It doesn't even explain how department stores used to operate, really.
I mean, again, I think the end of the day is that if you were brought up watching Are You Being Served and Carry On films, you are not really well served to have any opinions on anything ever. Except leaving Europe, apparently. I really hope this list is offending somebody.
It's offending me, if that helps.
And 10.
At 10, at the gym. Now.
What?
There's a problem there.
I see the fundamental flaw here, yes.
I would have to go to a gym, yes. That's the
and
main
then,
one.
After doing gym stuff, have any energy left... to want to have sexual intercourse. I just want to lie just cry a bit.
I understand that people that go to the gym regularly do not just die at the end of doing any sort of exercise, Ben. I'm as surprised as you are. Apparently you build up some sort of, you know, strength and stamina. I don't believe it. Sounds ridiculous to me.
It sounds far-fetched to me. Oh, dear. I mean, again, it's like, do you think people were just running out of ideas? They were just looking around going, oh, yeah, sex in the... cupboard.
Yeah, sex in the
armchair.
Sex near a bookcase.
Sex on some takeaway menus. Yeah.
Takeaway menus that should have gone in the bin 2 weeks ago, yeah.
And on that really rather uncomfortable
can we not do one of these lists again, Ben?
I thought it might, young people might listen and go, oh, there's a bit of sex and sexy kissing in that programme.
You thought young people might say, those two unhealthy.
What's the name of the hit podcast? My dad wrote a series of jokes for Freddie Starr, as we previously established. No.
My dad ran a Rumbelows, yeah.
My dad worked in a foundry for 10 years until he got tennis elbow. He's like, no.
What was he doing in that foundry, Ben? Shouldn't have had time for tennis.
No, I know. It's very, very lax.
I imagine you'd get it quicker if the ball's made of steel.
Balls of steel? Commission time's not.
No.
A thing. Oh, dear. No. So,
never happened.
Anyway. I think that's covered all bases for offence this week, let's be honest.
Sure.
If you've liked toys or Princess Diana, or Columbo, or sex. Hopefully we managed to ruin all of those for you this week. And if you like playing with toys whilst having sex with Columbo, all the better. You know, maybe that was number 11, Columbo sex, in which, you know, you start having sex and then you leave, you come back in and go, just one more thing.
Oh, you're the worst.
I don't know. I don't even know how much of this can leave in. I really don't.
None of it. The last 5 minutes of this podcast is going to be one long beat. This is
a bird song. Oh, dear. Until next time, I have been some chicken eating half a bin.
And I have been outside.
Goodbye. Bye. By the way, Phil.
Yeah.
What is sex?
Oh, no.